shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first Sunday live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR on 4.840 megahertz, that's transmitter 3, and on 3.215 megahertz, that's transmitter 1. Also, shortwave radio station WBCQ on 6.160 megahertz, and our two new stations, KYAH 540 AM in Delta, Utah, and KCCG 106.9 FM in Hugo, Oklahoma. And we'd appreciate, especially from those new stations, having some reception reports and letting us know if you're listening to the broadcast. And if anybody would like to sponsor a station in their area, just contact us and we'll try to get our broadcast to that station. If you would like to participate in tonight's broadcast, you can call toll-free 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. For foreign listeners who can't dial a toll-free number, they can call 678-949-5091. On this day when we celebrate our independence, we must also admit that our nation has fallen away from many of our founding Christian principles and continues to go downhill. Such deterioration has already taken place in previously great nations like England, Germany, and South Africa, which should be a warning to us here. My guest tonight is a longtime activist and Christian identity believer who has lived in the United States and is well informed on the situation facing our people worldwide. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Monica Stone, who is calling from her native South Africa, where it is 5 in the morning. Welcome, Monica.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for having me on this broadcast to tell the people, to warn them, to listen, and don't go into denial like too many of our people.
We always appreciate you coming on the broadcast. You were raised in South Africa when it was still ruled by whites. Before we discuss the changes that have taken place, why don't you give us some historical background of the founding of your country?
Right. I really want to start with the last verse of our anthem, pre-1994. On your almighty steadfast entrusted head our fathers built, give us also the strength, O Lord, to sustain and to preserve, that the heritage of our fathers for our children's heritage remain. Servants of the Almighty, against the whole world free, as our fathers trusted, teach us also to trust, O Lord. With our land and with our nation, it will be well. God reigns. Thank you. I want to just put into context where the whole problem started. Not really started, but what we're going through is just ongoing war since the Anglo-Boer War. The two Boer republics, the ZAR, the Transvaal, the Orange Free State, and the Cape rebels, called rebels as they were under British rule in the Cape province, fought the mighty British Empire from 1899 to 1902. British troops, 450,000, Boers, 60,000. But God be with us and were with us and will be with us. We fought the British for 3.5 years. Then they put the women and children in concentration camps, 24,000 plus. We don't even know really how many died on the way to the camps. Were put there because of British decision by Lord Roberts to protect the Boer women. I mean, they were not; they didn't need protection. They were on their farms, but they burned down the houses, burned down at the scorched earth attacks on the Afrikaners, and then of course discrimination against the Afrikaners was severe. We lost the war, 1902. The peace offering was signed. And then we started building up the country. They took away our language, or tried to take away our language. Afrikaners, white people, couldn't get jobs. They worked on the roads. They built up their farms. There was nothing left. Their wives died in the camps. Our people were sent to St. Helena, to Bermuda, to Ceylon, now called Sri Lanka. They came back years later and built up, and in 1948 the National Party came to power. Of course, the National Party was accused of starting apartheid, but the British already started when they took over in 1806. The Cape Province, and they had the province of Natal, of course. Only the two Boer republics stayed independent till the fall of 1902. In 1961, we became a republic, a reality under the leadership of Dr. Verwoerd. The republic was really short-lived. We had a wonderful time for 5 years, 1966, on September 66, interesting, 6666. Dr. Verwoerd was assassinated in Parliament by his defenders, a Greek immigrant that was given carte blanche to work as a messenger in Parliament. He wasn't even a South African citizen, but 2 days before Verwoerd's assassination, Time magazine said on the front page, "Is Verwoerd dead?" So this was planned long ago, and then it was spiraling down with more and more traitors, from Foster to the last one, F.W. de Klerk. This is just a summary to what we are experiencing today. The war never ended in 1902. It just now fought another way. The attack on the Boers, his language, his prevention of getting a job is now shifted from Britain to the, well, paraphrasing, Democratic African National Congress regime. The method changed. The war against the whites didn't. Now whites are in another type of concentration camp. There are no British soldiers at the gate, just poverty and no end in sight and no hope to be employed. If you're white, you need
to apply. There has been miraculous things happen in your history. I believe the Battle of Blood River, is that the name of one of them?
Oh, absolutely, yes. And what's interesting, thank you for mentioning that. I was about 14, 15 years old. We went to Umuguglugu. That's the city where Dingaan was living when we fought the Battle of Blood River in 1838. And there was an old Zulu sitting there. He was so thin and white hair. And he called me and he said, "Nonna." They called you Nonna then because they had really respect for the white man. And he said, "I wanted to tell you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "We didn't fight you people. We fought the men coming out of the heavens all dressed in white. No white Boer." I mean, this is now a stupid thing to say, white Boers, the Boers are all white, was killed that day. The leader, Pretorius, was wounded in his arm, but that's it. There were 438, I think, fighting 15,000 plus Zulus. And so many of them died. They died of fright, I suppose, with all these white messengers coming out of the heavens. And we made a covenant with God that December 16th, every year we will celebrate a Sunday to say thank you that he heard our prayers. And this is what I'm clinging to, is that the God of Blood River is not dead, even if the enemies all over the world, and Mike, they're not only black, the white governments of the West caused the fall of South Africa and Rhodesia and the rest of the white colonies in Africa.
And of course, the Jew has their hand in there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the ANC is completely Jew-riddled. In actual fact, we in the know a joke amongst each other when they start ranting about white monopoly money. It's not white monopoly money. It's Jewish money. And I mean, they're still being financed from England, like the EFF, Lord Renwick's the handler of Julius Malema. And he's the big mouth of white monopoly money. We know who owns the banks, not the whites and not the Boers. Absolutely not. Now we're in another type of camp without a soldier there, but poverty and no hope of getting a job. If you're white, you needn't apply. It doesn't matter if we are more qualified. Interesting that they're bringing in Cubans now to solve the water problem here and the sewage problem and Cuban mechanics to work in the army. The excuse is that the whites don't want to do that kind of work. So they're bringing in Cuban doctors even. I mean, not far from me, we've got the clinic and the doctor there is Cuban, having a problem even speaking English. So I don't know how it's working. I'm not going there. Yes, so we have a million plus whites in these. They call them squatter camps. I don't like calling them squatter camps. I call them victim camps because we're victims of a communist infested government. Even if they talk about African National Congress, there's nothing national about it. It's all communist since the beginning. So this is getting worse, and now the attacks on the farms have increased since 1990, slowly but surely to a total of 5,824 as to yesterday, but it's climbing every day with 2,136 farmers tortured and murdered in the most barbaric way.
What's the general white reaction in South Africa? Are they just not opposing it, or are they fighting it, or what are they doing?
Well, you cannot defend yourself. I mean, if you shoot an intruder, you are arrested for murder, and this is what's happening. I mean, it's the same as the United States. They just walk, and here they just walk. We had a terrible, terrible savage murder of a 22-year-old farmer with the name of Brenda Horner in Senegal. They really slaughtered him. It was so bad. And then they hung the remains of Brendan on a tree. They were arrested. And he caught them stealing sheep. And they attacked him and stabbed him to death and then cut him up. They went free the other day under about $500. Bail bond, because there's not enough evidence. But I must put this in perspective, is that they cannot test DNA because they in arrears about a million cases, because the government's not paying for the equipment or the computer science. I don't know how it works, but anyway, the owner of this started complaining because they are 3 years in arrears, so they will just walk here because there is no evidence. And this poor kid, beautiful, beautiful 22-year-old farmer, slaughtered. This, and then the farmers went to the Boers went to this little town and protested and say, well, you know, this can't go on. And of course, the EFF was here, and it was a clash between the EFF and the whites. The whites stormed into the magistrate's court, and the leader of this organization was arrested. I don't know what happened to his court case, because nothing's working here, and nothing gets finished. So if somebody sneezes, they close the offices and clean it because of COVID. So I don't know if this will be coming to an end. Sorry?
I was going to say, you lived in the United States and you've traveled around the world, and of course, you're in South Africa, but the blacks have the same characteristics and emotional mannerisms everywhere, along with whenever they have rulership, it's corrupt.
Oh, absolutely. There's not a country in the whole of Africa that's not corrupt to the core. I mean, interesting, the Business News the other day complained about the IMF, World Bank, etc., and the West giving something like 53 quadrillion rand. I have no idea how much money that is, but it sounds a lot of money. To pay our debts, I mean, you make a debt to pay a debt, it doesn't make sense, but this is what happened. But the money disappeared. Nobody knows what happened to it. So it goes. I mean, more and more corruption. It's just unbelievable. And trillions of rand or trillions of dollars. And the West is still sinking in money here. The Chinese sinking in here a lot of money. But this is the interesting thing about the Chinese. They're buying up the farms in the north of the country, the Limpopo province that is adjacent to Zimbabwe. And they fence them all off and fire all the blacks and bring in their criminals working on the farms as slaves to, I don't know if they will ever go back. That's a good question. I have no idea. They bring in their own food. They don't support the white, so-called white areas, or buy from the blacks. They completely self-sufficient. And in Zimbabwe, of course, they took over the whole country, and the Zimbabweans are working as slaves there now. They don't really get paid, and they can't complain. It's like in China. The Chinese cannot complain. I wonder what the average Zimbabwean thinks. They were so upset with white rule being oppressed and being shortchanged, and now they have a bigger oppression in the Asian. That's really no for an answer, and it's working.
Well,
here
how does the average white in South Africa feel about being betrayed by their politicians in the past?
This is a very sore point. A very sore point. I'm talking to so many, and they in such denial. I mean, they even in denial that we're in a war situation. And I gave you the figures of how many white farmers were murdered and first tortured before they killed them. We don't even know how many non-farmers are being tortured and killed. I mean, just stopping at a traffic light can kill you because they just shoot you like they do in the United States or in crossfire or whatever. I mean, the most dangerous occupation today is to be a truck driver, black, white, or otherwise, because they hijack the trucks, steal everything off it, and then burn it. And, of course, ambulance drivers are being attacked so they can steal the drugs. They don't even allow their own people to be helped. They don't care. I mean, necklacing started again in South Africa because of xenophobia. Interesting word, xenophobia. They don't call it racism. It's xenophobia because blacks killing blacks. But it's tribal wars, of course. They're killing the Nigerians here. They're killing the Zimbabweans here. And South African blacks are too lazy to work. Zimbabweans want to work, but they are being killed. Blacks coming even so far as Malawi and Mali and the Congo. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, Mandela had them flown in from the Congo to vote for him in 1994 when the ANC took over. They never went back because they have a nice life here. They can steal, there are lots of stuff to steal here. And of course, they're going to expropriate the farms without compensation. If you still owe money on the farm, you still have to pay the bank with what? I have no idea, because the farmer doesn't have a farm anymore. 99% of the farms being taken away from the blacks, if they paid for it or not paid for it, is a disaster. I know when I was in the Free State once, I talked to people who were going around taking affidavits from farmers and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, what are you really actually doing? Oh, they stock taking. I said, stock taking about what? Yes, all the tractors and the plows and the blah, blah, blah that were given by the government for the blacks to farm. And they said the only farm is across the road. It's really working. This farmer was really clever. He allowed them to take his farm, and now he's renting the farm from them. And the owner of the farm is sitting in his house, and the whites is doing the farming. So that is successful. This is what's happening. What we're going to eat is a good question. The minister, don't ask me which department and what his name is. I can't cope because tomorrow it's another one again. Anyway, he said, we don't have a problem with that. We can buy our food from the grocery store. No kidding. It's just laughable. I mean, interesting that Ramaphosa went to Russia for the weekend, and he appointed the Minister of Health as president for the time he's gone, and she can't read two words together. So I don't know. It's a disaster. But I saw it coming to your country. I see it, saw it in Europe, and it's there now. If I think what Sweden is suffering, and Sweden was the first country to apply sanctions against white South Africa, because apartheid is such a horrible thing. Not understanding why and what's happening. I mean, now the white schools have been taken over, and the black schools in Soweto, for instance, is empty because they're not functioning, but the white schools still function. So they're slowly pushing the white kids out, and they're pushing our language, just pushing English, not understanding that the British really were such nasty people towards them. I mean, I saw Kitchener on his horse, had these blacks carrying the stuff on their heads in the wall. And they said, but they tie it. He said, well, I don't care. They just blacks. Who cares? But they pushing the language now because the Afrikaner has been accused of being the oppressor all these years since 1948. But they don't understand what happened before that, because we don't learn anything from history. The victor is writing the history books, don't they? I mean, you have the same in the United States, the same all over, that Hitler is the culprit and not Stalin for killing 10 million Ukrainians. That's not taken into account. The Holodomor, but the Holocaust is. So there we go again. It depends on who's in charge, isn't it? And of course, this government is not in charge. Yeah, they rewrite the history. Mm-hmm.
The whites, do they have an opportunity to emigrate to other countries or even visit? What's the situation with the current travel restrictions?
Oh.
What's the situation? What opportunities do whites have in leaving South Africa?
Well, there are no flights going out of South Africa. Nothing. First place, South African Airways is bankrupt. They're trying to find another, so it goes, another buyer for a bankrupt airline, but no, there are no flights going out. And I saw Biden inviting South Africans to come and work there as farm laborers, because apparently you have a shortage of farm laborers and mechanics and so forth. Of course, it won't be whites being Biden. They changed that. So, but I mean, I saw it in my own experience when I tried to go over to the United States the first time. I had to go for 3 interviews, and they even knew my mother was a farmer and asked me, when I go to the States for 3 months, who's going to take care of the cows? They asked me that. The consul, not, yeah. So eventually, I'm not going into detail, but anyway, I got the visa and I went to the United States in 1994. I came back in 96. And then I got married in 2000 to an American citizen, Jim Stone. And then we started trying to get an immigration visa. I had to go for so many interviews. And of course, it's costing money. They'll give you a white form to fill in and take home, and bring it back the next day and pay X amount of money. And then they give you a green one to take home. So it was going to Johannesburg for days on end. And then the last interview was with the consul, Mr. Duke. And he was yelling through the glass, bulletproof glass. And he said to me, we don't want you there.
So, was this an American or South African?
An American, the consul. Yes, American citizen. And I mean, I walked into the consul and I said to Jim, don't you have any whites in your country? He said, what do you mean? I said, all these pictures of nurses and doctors and what, they're all black. Then I said to Jim, he said, we'll think about it. You'll have to wait 2 years. This is the norm. You had to wait here 2 years and then write an exam to see if you can speak English. Yes, so this is the normal procedure anyway. So I said to Jim,
of course, well, if you're an illegal Mexican, you could walk across the border.
Yes, exactly. You don't need any papers and you don't pay anything and you don't need to speak English. But for us, we have to write an exam. So anyway, I made the remark to Jim and I said, well, okay, I'll sue for a divorce because I don't know if I will be granted a visa in 2 years. So the consul was really taken aback. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, he needs care because Jim was a cripple. He had 2 back operations anyway. So he said, well, it's just the weirdest thing. He said, the personnel really like you. So under pressure, I will give it to you. And he gave me the stamp. That was 4 o'clock the afternoon. We flew out of South Africa 9 o'clock that night. Yes. So, yeah, it was cut really fine, but eventually I got it. And I don't know how other people are treated, but I don't think very differently, because the first time I applied in 94 for a visa, there was a British citizen, a young girl, applying for a visa, and they denied her the visa. She was throwing chairs around there, so I said, don't do that. It'll all count against you. Take it calmly and just leave and then apply again or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. I know friends of mine went to New Zealand. It's easier, apparently, to go to New Zealand. And his wife got breast cancer, and they were sent back to South Africa because of course, they knew eventually she'll die and they're not going to take it on them to load more debt onto the health service in New Zealand. So they sent them back.
Well, after your husband passed away, were you forced to go back to South Africa or did you voluntarily decide to go back?
I voluntarily decided to come back. It's just that being a South African, they're so brainwashed in the attitude. I mean, and I was in Mandeville, very, very liberal town. They fled New Orleans because of all the criminality there to come to Mandeville across the lake, to a Pontchartrain. But they still have the liberal ideas. So, being South African, oh, immediately, you know, apartheid or whatever. So I never felt welcome. And also, financially, I couldn't make it. I had to come back. And also, I missed my country and I missed my people. It doesn't matter how bad it is here. We have a last war toll. We take care of each other, even if it's really difficult. I mean, we had 3 houses burned down this past week in my area, and immediately the people gather together, get furniture, grocery vouchers. Not all of them, because where I am, the people are really very poor, but they try. They really try to help each other. This is what we do with the camps too, is try and help these people that they have something to eat. And try and build them up. I mean, we have this one camp here. A friend of mine is running at Philadelphia Ark. He's got 500 whites there and 136 kids. They have a pensioner's home. They've got kindergarten. And it's a working farm. So they sort of, in a lot of ways, independent, and a lot of people helping them. So this is what's happening here. We have to get together and help each other, because there's no other way to do this. And the little bit have is stolen. Mm-hmm.
You're a strong Christian who believes in our Israel identity. How about the other people down there? What's the Christian identity believer situation like in South Africa?
It is small. It is really small. And I mean, of course, with all these lockdowns we had since March last year, they just sort of not really closed the churches, but only so many can go. And traveling is a problem. You need a permit to go out of town, out of the city here, that you have to pay for, by the way. So I try not to do that. And so I'm here by myself listening to Dr. Swift Comparé on the internet, and talking to people on Skype, and keep it up. But this is what I'm clinging to, is God help us in 1838, and he will help us again, but we're a stiff-necked people. He will put the screws on more and more, because we don't turn back. But it's going to happen, that he will not allow his children to be destroyed, even if we're suffering so badly, because there's not a family in this country not being affected by attacks or savage beatings or whatever. It's, I mean, if I start telling you how they torture people, it's just unbelievable. And there are no figures how many really survived that. My cousin was, her husband was beaten with, they farmers was beaten with iron bars and so forth. And then they went into the house and they started beating her. They burned her face with a warm iron. And then they tried to throw boiling water down her throat. She said, but I just looked at them and I prayed. And then they held her over the gas stove and burnt her back. She spent a month in hospital. It's terrible. And so it goes. I mean, they survived, but the trauma, and you don't forget that. It's always coming back. I remember my mother was attacked by 4. And even in a dementia state, she had terrible Alzheimer's. When she sees one of them, she'll crawl under my arm and just start shaking. Because the memory deep down was still there. I'm not going into detail. That's still breaking my heart.
You do have a famous prophet down there that predicts the restoration of South Africa. Do you want to tell the people about the prophet?
Yes, I will. He was he died in 1926, and interesting that in 1914, with the First World War. Well, let me just backtrack. He went with the troops fighting the British. He never carried a weapon, never ever. And he will tell them where to go, where the British will be. He said, and pass them because the cannons will be blind. And they will just go past the British and the British will be sleeping. So, yes, this is, and then he went with the Boers to southwest to Windhoek, 1914, and on horseback. I mean, it's a long way, a couple of thousand kilometers. But anyway, he saw this flag in the heavens, the red flag with the yellow hammer and sickle. That was in 1914. And I mean, he was not a learned man. He didn't go to school. He went to school for 3 weeks. His mother taught him to read the Bible. That's the only book he read. And he said, this flag will fly in South Africa when it's not flying in Russia anymore. And of course, it's being displayed here. And Mkonte sees where has the hammer and sickle, the military wing of the ANC. So it is flying in South Africa after it's not flying in Russia anymore. And he predicted all these things, how it'll get so dark that we will not be able to see the hand in front of our face. And we will be so despondent, he said, but we will go into the war last, but we will come out of it first. So there is the big war coming. He talked about the First World War and the Second World War, and Germany will lose it. He said, but the Third World War will be fought differently, completely differently. And we will come out of that triumphantly. The victory will be ours. And he will restore South Africa, he said. Three blue letters will come from Germany warning the blacks. And they will start running. And they will start fighting amongst each other. And this is interesting, what happened this past week. The previous minister, President Zuma, was found guilty by the Constitutional Court of contempt of court and sentenced to 15 months prison sentence. Well, the Zulus are upset because Zuma is a Zulu. The current president, Ramaphosa, is a Venda. They don't like him. And he took over from Zuma with a coup. So the Zulus are upset. And thousands of them are going to Nkandla in KwaZulu-Natal, not far from Umgungundluwa, where Dingaan had his kraal, and where Chaka came from, the Zulu king, who killed, by the way, 2 million blacks, but they don't talk about it. Like, they don't talk about the murders in black on black in Chicago or Detroit. So, yes, so they are gathering there. And, of course, the government said, we will not allow this. The army will be there and the police. Well, there is not one policeman there. I think they had six cars trying to stop them on the interstate. But they went past and they're going there and they're armed with AK-47s. So either this will just die down because it's not the time, or the fire is being lit and they will start fighting each other.
We'll the prophet, you might give his name, I don't recall it.
Oh,
but
yes.
Did he give any timelines, any time period, roughly maybe?
No, he didn't. He just talked about incidents. And I mean, he made about, 800 or 900, predictions or prophecies. And so many came to fruition now. And maybe we are going into it. And his name is Niklas von Rendsburg. And you can look it up on the internet. And it's available in English, too. Adrian Snyman is explaining what some of the things meant. He wrote a book, Voice of a Prophet. So that can be ordered on the internet. So yes, it's very, very interesting to see how the things are coming into play and how he predicted so many things in Europe even and in the United States. So we'll have to go through all these things and and the victory in the end will be ours, because it said God hasn't forgotten us, and everything will be fine. So you people also just cling to that, what Niklas von Rensburg said. And South Africa, of course, is very important. I see so important that the G7 invited the President Ramaphosa to join them in the meeting in Cornwall. Why? I have no idea. South Africa being declared twice now, maybe more, junk status. So maybe it's the minerals here that they just want for nothing. I have no idea. But they're not to be trusted, as they say. We will decide who's going to live and who's going to die. They think they are in power, the power elite, but they're not in power. There is a power higher than them, much higher than them. So we just give them enough play.
What currently is the vaccination and mask requirements down there? There's a lot of oppression in this country that we've never had before, but I was wondering what's the situation in South Africa concerning this COVID stuff?
Oh, yeah, well, you have to go. I mean, you've got to apply online and then go to certain vaccination stations and so forth and so forth. But, I mean, we have 80 million blacks in this country. I mean, they talk about 50 million, but we have so many migrants, illegal aliens, whatever, from all over. They don't know how many they are here. And the blacks, of course, just refuse to take it. So we'll see. According to one doctor, he said it'll take South Africa 18 years to inoculate the whole population. That will be maybe, if things go well, will be 100 million by then. So I don't know how successful it is. I'm not taking it. A lot of whites taking it. No, white is taking it, and because some of these companies want to force them, but they don't have any legal standing to do that. So if you don't want to take it, you can use the law not taking it. I'm sending the information out to everybody asking. So this is it. And of course, now, the EFF wants the Chinese one because, the Chinese are here in power, sort of. How successful that's going to be. The first coming from India was already expired before it landed here. So I don't know if they give the expired inoculation to the population. I have no idea. We don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they know what they're doing. So we'll have to see. How it's, but I mean,
do you
it's
have to
like
have the vaccination to travel, especially out of the country?
Well, we can't get out of the country, so I suppose so. This is what they tell you, and now I see these certain airlines saying that if you had the vaccination, we don't allow you on the plane because it's causing blood clots. So I don't know how many people will be traveling, but at the moment, there are no planes going overseas from here.
What about mask requirements?
Oh, yeah, that's now a criminal offense if you don't wear it. But I don't know how they're going to force it because there's no real police force here. And I mean, I see some of this. The blacks, of course, will not. Let me just put this in perspective. The African will not go against authority. They will suffer like they suffered under Mugabe, something terrible, but they didn't stand up against him because this is not their tradition. They won't do it. So we don't have marches here against the wearing of masks, and because the whites are so in the minority, we about what's it? Sorry, 4.5 million whites here, and I mean, I can say about 2 million plus being liberal. So there is no whites really also marching against the mask wearing or even the vaccinations because of we are such a minority and the others just do what they want. I mean, we have a black squatter camp not far from me. They're all illegal aliens. They have no running water and no sewage system, nothing. They live about 20, say, in a little shack. I don't see them toppling over, dying. And they don't wear masks, and they're selling their fruit and vegetables on the sidewalk, getting together, and nothing is hygienic. So I don't know. This whole thing is it's a mystery.
I know you're affiliated with the Living Waters Foundation.
Yes.
Trying to help our people over there. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about that organization and how they can help out?
Well, yes, we started Living Waters Foundation when I was still in the United States, and it's still ongoing here. I'm handling it here. The best way to do it is to send me, if you want to donate, send it by Western Union, and then send me an email on southafricaproject.info@gmail.com, and send it to me. My name, Monica Stone, and I will have it within a day or two, and I can help these people. I'm taking care of quite a few camps around here in my area. We have an area of a few kilometers. We have seven camps now. And, of course, the one I told you about, the Ark of Philadelphia, or Philadelphia Ark, that's a bit far away from me, but I'm helping there. And, of course, the South African rand is so worthless. For every dollar, I get nearly 15 rand, and that can buy a loaf of bread again. So if anybody feels like helping, it is really appreciated. And we're so grateful because our people are really suffering. It breaks my heart to see these whites sitting at a traffic sign, and they're so thin, and they look so lost. And you look in their eyes, and they don't have any hope, because at this moment, there is no hope. And, you know, of course, the preachers don't go out and preach to these poor people to give them hope. So this is what I'm trying to do.
I think at one time you were helping orphans, the orphans, and I guess also the adults who were in financial need.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. We have this orphanage in Pretoria, House Ebenezer, and they've got 36 orphans there, and now a lot of adults moving in there because they have no place to go. So yes, I'm helping there. People give me clothes, bags and bags of clothes, and I'm taking it to the camps and try and clothe these people because they either lost everything or sold it to have a loaf of bread. I mean, the other day a friend called me and she said, I'm heartbroken. She said, I didn't even know these people moved into this little room across the road from me. And she saw this white woman talking to a black, and she was begging for a loaf of bread from this black guy. So we cannot allow that. We've got to step in and help. So we did. And I got some money from Australia the other day, and I was really taken aback to see the amount I got, and I could help so many, and this family also. I mean, she didn't have anything to wear, and Monique went out there, and she bought her clothes and bought food. So this family of four, two little boys, and their parents were taken care of, but this is ongoing. I mean, it never stops. You eat a loaf of bread and tomorrow it's finished, you need another one. And this is our predicament here, that most of our people are really struggling. So if there is anybody out there trying or feel it in their hearts to help the beleaguered white nation in South Africa, I know that you are also under attack. And this is what our people don't understand. I don't know, maybe I'm giving an opinion that's really not needed or not wanted, is that they in such denial that this is a war to kill off the whites. And I mean, whites are driving this. I mean, I see all these professors about whiteness being in the United States being such a horrible thing and what they do to the children there. And of course, here it's the same thing with black teachers. It is horrifying just to think what they teach our our little ones. And yeah, so it's interesting thing. When the war was raging in Rhodesia, one of the terrorist leaders, then Joshua Nkomo, said that we have to kill the white people because that's the only way to kill is God. So if our people just would understand this, this is why they want to kill us, is because they think they will kill the white God. That's not going to happen, of course, but...
Yahweh's going to give us the victory.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. This is the only thing, not that I'm being honest, that I fall into terrible depression when I come back from a camp or when I see my people alongside the road walking. I mean, the shoulders are sinking lower and lower, and feet dragging, and old people. I mean, I saw this old man, he must be, well, maybe he's not that old, that all this poverty and struggling made him look like he's 80, was dragging a buggy, a grocery store buggy full of empty plastic bottles and tins to go to the... recycling place to get a few cents to buy a loaf of bread.
Yeah. If anybody has some questions for Monica, we've got less than 5 minutes left. If you have a quick question, you can call 877-924-7722, toll free 877-YAHS-RACE. And let me give you the opportunity once again to repeat the address or how they can get some money to you and to help our people there in South Africa.
Well, the easiest way is to send it by Western Union. Make it out to Monica Stone. Send me an email to southafricaproject.info@gmail.com. And that is as easy as that. And if you want the brochure I wrote about the betrayal of Rhodesia in South Africa, I will gladly send it to you by email. That will explain the Western hand in toppling the white governments in Southern Africa, or for that matter, the rest of Africa, and maybe what they're doing to your country and to what they're doing to Europe. The same whites without soul doing this to us. I thank you for the time, Mike, and my God.
Well, I thank you for letting our people know what's taking place, because the same thing, it happened to Rhodesia, it happened to South Africa, and it's happening here in the U.S.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, in Angola and Mozambique, we saw the whites fleeing from there to South Africa, thinking they will be safe. And I mean, just a couple of years later, we fell the same way. And how they flee from... you know, these countries coming here with nothing, with the clothes on their backs. And what can I say? And please, you people, stand together and try and stop this. With God's help, we will do
that. People need to wake up to racial differences, too. I know you lived in the New Orleans area, and you saw the same type of black activity down there as takes place in Africa.
Absolutely. And you know, the sad part is that some of the Americans talking to me say, but the blacks here are different in the United States. So I said, where did they come from? You know, you don't understand. It's a weird thing that they bring their traditions over and their hatred towards the whites, because they look at you and they see that their own inferiority, and this is why they hate you so. And, of course, they've got to kill you because they think they killed the white God, who's not going to be killed. So, please wake up and see what's what.
Yeah, the old saying, you can take them out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of them.
No. And you know what my dad said, that if you show them weakness, you lost the war. And this is what the white race did. All over the world showed weakness. And this is what we're reaping the whirlwind now, and torture and mayhem and murder and slaughter and burning. I mean, everything is being burnt like they do in Portland. They burn it here. I mean, put the burning tires across the road, and now they put spikes across the road. So they destroy your tires, and then, of course, you're at their mercy. and this is what's happening. So, yeah, that's coming to the United States. It's exported for nothing from Africa.
And there's a cruel nature that the whites don't understand. Torture, yeah. I believe they even torture their own with tires filled with petroleum and stuff around their neck.
Yes, I mean, they started with that again, yeah, and I mean, they stoned them to death. I watched the video the other day. It's horrible to see how they used big concrete blocks to eventually kill this black. And they stand around there in a circle cheering. Nobody's helping. They're cheering because the bloodletting gives them more power. It's like vampires with Count Dracula. What can I say? The same story. It's a ritual. It's like a ritual murder. They need to bloodlet as much as possible. This is how they kill the farmers here too. I mean, you walk into a house and it's soaked with blood all over because of the stabbing and the torture. It's just horrifying. Can't even think how these people suffered before they would eventually succumb of their wounds or being just outright killed. And then nothing happens because
it's horrible to see this happen to our race, especially a Christian nation that was founded as a Christian nation, just like this nation was. But exactly. We're about out of time. Do you have any concluding remarks?
My concluding remarks is don't ever give up hope. Keep your eyes on our Almighty Father, because He is Almighty. Don't lose your integrity. Don't lose your spirit, your fighting spirit. And hold on there and learn from South Africa the white mistakes here that we got weak and we allowed all this. Don't get weak. Stand on your feet. And thank you for listening and thank you for helping. God bless you all.
And thank you for fighting for our people and being on the broadcast tonight. But we are out of time, so I'll say good night to our listeners.
God bless you. Thank you. Good night.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.